Welcome to the University of California San Francisco Sports Medicine Podcast featuring Dr. Nirav Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdown discussing hot topics in sports medicine and society. We hope you enjoy our podcast and look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to this week's podcast of 6 to 8 weeks. I'm joined by Drew Lansdown. Nirav Pandya is off celebrating the Warriors' win over the Bucks. And we're also joined by Matt Hartwell, one of our outstanding fellows who is from the upper half of the United States, somewhere near Michigan. And he's going back next year to the University of Michigan to do sports medicine and hip arthroscopy. Matt has had a research study that went a little bit viral. It's been on a variety of different news stations. It also was on Saturday Night Live, and he's been kind of pulled away from many of his clinical duties just to become a famous presenter. So Matt, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
We just had our annual National Orthopedic Academy meeting in Las Vegas, which is an interesting place for a meeting. I think I've developed the black lung. But you presented your study there on the effects of running on hip and knee pain and hip and knee arthritis. Can you tell us a little bit about your study and what you found?
Yeah, so we studied Chicago Marathon runners. We sent out a survey to the past 2 years of participants. Ended up having responses from about 3,800 of them, close to 3,900. And we asked them a variety of questions. We asked them, have you been diagnosed with arthritis? Do you have hip or knee pain? And then what is their running related history? And what other risk factors can they have for arthritis? And we ended up finding that there was a reported prevalence of arthritis of about 7.3%. And then for those people who developed arthritis, we asked them what their risk factors were, and their running related history was not associated with the development of arthritis. So the number of marathons they run, the cumulative number of years that they said that they've been a runner, their average pace, their average weekly mileage, none of that was associated with their risk for developing arthritis. But risk factors that were there were some of the, I think, more traditional risk factors, stuff like increasing age, family history, history of hip or knee injuries that had surgery on it.
What made you want to do this study? I think it's awesome that you're able to do this, and definitely like gives us a lot of great information. But what made you come up with the idea and start the project?
So I'm a runner myself, and I think all throughout my time when I started running to, going through medical training, going through residency, when you tell somebody that you're a runner, they just assume, oh man, you're for sure going to develop arthritis later in life. And it's almost like there's this dose response relationship where the more you run, the more you're going to develop arthritis. So I wanted to see if that was truly the case.
I wanted to go back to your study a little bit. You said that the prevalence is about 7%. So that means about 1 in 11 of the runners actually had a diagnosis of knee pain or arthritis in the hip or knee, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so does that mean I should beat 10 out of 11 runners because they ran more slowly? Or was there any suggestion that these people weren't as good runners?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't actually look at that to see what their average pace was. I think it's important to look at what the demographics were for these runners as well. They were averaged about 44 years old, and it was the full spectrum of beginner marathon runners to elite marathon runners. There were almost two-thirds of the people had run less than 5 marathons though. So there have been previous studies looking at this with similar methodology, but they were looking at runners who had averaged more like 76 marathons and found similar conclusions. There's a lot of selection bias there, and not that there isn't in this one, but I think this does make it a little bit more applicable to some of the people that we are seeing more commonly who say, I'm out running, what should I do? I need to be worried about my knees or my hips or developing arthritis.
And you said the amount of running people were doing didn't correlate with knee pain or hip pain or knee or hip arthritis. But you said some of the more traditional risk factors were more likely to be associated with that. So what are those more traditional risk factors that turned out to be positive in your study?
So if you have an increasing age, If you have a family history or you have a reported family history of people who have had arthritis, or if you've had surgery on your hip or your knee, or if you've had injuries of your hip or knee that required you to stop running for a period of time. These are, vague. It is an epidemiology study, but these are some of the things that we can use. So there are things, we're not saying that running is good for you, but is it looking at what are the risk factors in runners who develop arthritis?
So Matt, going forward, how would you counsel patients who are either runners themselves or interested in running, about like the overall net positive, negative potential effects that it could have on their health?
Yeah, so running is, for people can be, it's a very personal thing. It's something that a lot of people are going to do regardless of what you tell them. But if you're going to be there in a position of trying to give them some advice, I would say that if you're running and you're not developing, hip or knee pain, or you're having injuries that are preventing you from running, you should get those checked out, because you can likely make things worse by make injuries worse, or you can progress things and make things worse if you're continuing to run on something that's a problem. But if you're progressing your running and you're largely getting through it without injuries or significant pain all the time, I wouldn't say that there's an absolute dose response relationship where the more you run, the worse you're going to make things. And this should be taken into account with all the other potential, all the other known benefits for running, from mental health benefits to cardiovascular benefits. So for the thought that running itself is going to make your knees worse, you should stop doing something that's healthy for you, that's good for your mental health. I would just step back from making that recommendation to people.
Okay, I wanted to drill down on this a little bit, because it seems like there's two different types of injuries. You have the, I have a little bit of knee pain inside the joint. I may have been diagnosed with some early or even moderate arthritis. You're saying running is not necessarily bad for those patients because the health benefits seem to outweigh it, and it's not necessarily correlating with how much you're running, correct?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. But then you also sort of mentioned that there are these other running things or other injuries that we don't want to train through. I assume you're talking about like muscle strains or stress fractures. How do these, let's start with stress fractures, because that's something that runners get. How would a stress fracture present, and what sort of patients would you be worried about that are developing a stress fracture that you would say, gosh, I don't want you to be running on this?
Yeah, so I think if you're going to do long distance running, it's not something you should just take casually. You need to be aware of the things as you're progressing with your training and your mileage. So if you're going to increase your mileage, being aware that, small aches and pains are okay, but if you have something that's persistently painful, you can have injuries. Don't assume with a study like this that, oh, this hurts, I'm just going to keep on running, there's no problem. It's still a sport that has problems that can develop that you should seek evaluation for. So if it's persistent pain that's every time you go out running, or it's preventing you from running, it's probably worth getting it checked out to make sure there's not something worse going on.
Maybe like getting into more specifics, like what would you tell that person? So like, say I want to run the Chicago Marathon next year. Like, what should I be looking at, like especially in mind of health, like to go from maybe a novice runner to participating in something like that?
I can answer that.
I shouldn't do marathon. It. Right. Yeah. No, that's,
you got to stay and work.
There are a lot of really good training plans that are out there. There are things that you can follow that give you what is a safe way to progress, whether you're increasing your mileage by 10% per week, making sure that you're running in whatever shoe wear is healthy for you, and you're stretching, things that are, make sure that you're listening to your body as you're progressing. And if it feels like things are, your hip or your knee are bothering you and preventing you from increasing your mileage, or things are reverting or going backwards, you should probably go see a doctor about it and make sure you don't have some sort of injury that should be addressed.
Yeah. And I think when we think about injuries, we think about things like muscle strain. So typically when people are increasing their mileage or they're changing the terrain they're running on, they can get a hamstring strain, a calf strain. Those are the sort of things that generally just require rest. When you've been training, Matt, I know you're we'll get to why you like doing these long distance runs in a little bit, but when you've been training, how much time do you take off if you get a muscle strain that really feels like it's limiting your running?
That's a great point. I think that's something that is to each individual runner. I think one thing that we found from our study is that people are going to run. 90%+ of people are going to continue running despite what their doctor tells them. So I think it depends on each person. But for me personally, and what I think is healthy is, you know, you just wait for something to improve. If you need to take a period of rest and you need to take time off your training, then do that. Wait till you can slowly start getting back into it and going running where you're not pushing past muscle strains or other injuries that that could predispose you to getting worse injuries.
Yeah, and go ahead, Drew.
Oh, I was just saying, like, are there any, you know, signs that people should look for, like for something like a stress fracture, like that, you know, hey, if you are having this, like this really isn't getting better and you got to get this taken care of?
You know, if you have a specific point on your extremity that's persistently painful every time you go out running, or your weekly mileage is dropping, if there's, you know, you're expecting that things are supposed to be increasing mileage, increasing pace, and it's not working for you, or it's just a certain area that just keeps on that bothering you every single time you put weight on it, you know, that's a red flag.
All right, I'm going to transition because I think we get these questions a fair amount. Is there a specific shoe that is going to make me run faster, have no pain, and be able to beat Drew for this Chicago marathon that he's now challenged me to?
Absolutely not.
What shoes?
Matt, you got to tell me afterwards what the real shoe is.
People often ask, like, does shoe wear or like foot pain lead to knee pain? And is there a particular shoe that, like, is it the more expensive shoe or is it more just the one that makes you feel good while you're running?
Yeah, this is a highly debated topic in the running community. There are a lot of people who feel very strongly about it. I'll say, and I think you were going to get to this, but when I was running my first 100-mile race, I ate 12.5-mile loops, and I was lapped twice by somebody running in sandals. So I think there's a big variation what can work for you, but you need to acknowledge, you know, what your own limitations are. If you're going to be one of those people that are out running it with minimalist shoes or even barefoot running, that's not something to just jump into. I think having well-cushioned shoes are important if you're going to be increasing your mileage, and it may be safe to try and go out there and run in more minimalist type running shoes, but that's something that takes a lot of progression and a lot of training to adapt your body to those types of shoes.
All right. So Matt, you just mentioned that in your first 100-mile race, what is the longest race that you've done, and how many of these 100-mile races have you done?
Oh, I've done one. There are maybe plans for another one. I don't have one on the books yet, but
I'm still trying to wrap my head around running 100 miles because the first marathon runner died. He didn't like deliver his message and then be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run back and then I'm going to bring you a coffee and then I'm going to run back again. So what in God's name made you decide that a marathon wasn't enough for you?
I wish I could answer that myself. I think a desire to continue. There's longer races. There's ways, things to challenge yourself to. And I think that also kind of speaks to the mentality of some of your patients that you're going to see. They're going to have their own personal goals and they're there for advice from you. And you're probably not going to change their opinion. So you need to try to meet them on their level. People are going to go out and push themselves, but it is helpful to give them some advice. You know, when you go at these 100 milers, though, there are any ultra marathons, you don't see as many these injuries at them because these are presumably people who have been out doing a lot of running. So there's some selection bias there. We see there's a lot more injuries overall MSK related or cardiovascular related when it comes to things like half marathons and marathons, or people maybe jumping into things that are maybe further or more than what they're used to.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't think too many people suggest that we should just get up and run 100 miles. Last question, and this was brought up on Saturday Night Live. How much personal nipple chafing have you had when you're running? And have you really erased your entire left side of your chest through running?
I think any runner will go through these. They'll learn things the hard way. So you don't go through that experience too many times. You learn what you need to do.
All right. Well, on that note, we know you have a busy day in the operating room. Congratulations on a great year here so far. You're not done yet. And we look forward to seeing you as you progress towards the Big Sur Marathon. We know you and your family are out running and forcing your kid to be in the stroller for some of your longer training runs through San Francisco. And we really look forward to you going back to the University of Michigan and taking care of the population up there. Drew, the gauntlet has been laid.
Let's go.
Watch the Chicago Marathon.
Yeah.
Much longer.